Yeah.
Okay, we're in the middle of this interesting sugya about Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel, machloket between them about the eshet, the tzarat habat. Okay, if two brothers. Okay, there's two women married to one guy. One of those women is an Isur Erva to the second brother. Okay, let's say the bat. That's why they call it tzarat habat. Imagine that she's the daughter of this guy. Okay, now they share a father, but not a mother, so that's how we end up with the situation. Yibum, we're going to see the source today. Yibum only applies with brothers from the father, not brothers who are only from the mother. In other words, obviously it could be father and mother, but brothers from the father's side. These two women are married. He dies without children. The first wife can't marry the brother because they're Isur Erva. What happens to the tzara? Can she marry or not? Is she patur or no? This was all the first Mishnah. The first Mishnah went according to Beit Hillel. The second Mishnah, we said, oh, by the way, Beit Shammai disagrees and thinks that the tzara can go marry someone else. She's free to go. She can't do... I'm sorry. I just said it wrong. Beit Hillel says she's free to go. Beit Shammai says she marries the brother. Okay? And does Yibum, she has to do Yibum. So there's a big difference, and we end up with Mamzerim problems if one holds by the other, or according to the other, we'll end up with Psule Chitun for Kohanim. Either which way, you're either over on Isur Karet. If we go like Beit Shammai, according to Beit Hillel, it would be Isur Karet, because she's now marrying her husband's brother. This is the whole thing we've talked about. You're not allowed to marry your husband's brother, except for Yibum. Yibum forces you to marry your husband's brother. Normally, you can't marry your husband's brother. But in the case where your husband dies without any children, you have to marry him. So, and this, that's why it's a really big issue. Is she p'tuha or is she chayevet? If she's chayevet, then we allow her to be over on the Isser of Eshet Ach, because the halacha says you have to. The Torah says you have to. But if, and that's Beit Shammai. But according to Beit Hillel, she's p'tura from Yibum. If she's p'tura from Yibum, she can't marry him. It's an Isur Karet. Okay, so Beit Hillel would think that according to Beit Shammai, the Banim are Mamzerim. And that's why it's a really big question. According to Beit Hillel, if she goes and marries somebody else and doesn't take care of Yibum, that Beit Shammai thinks she needs to do Yibum, it's an Isur Lav. And then the kids will possibly be P'sulei Chitun. And that's what we talked about yesterday. Are they P'sulei Chitun or not? Okay. Now we're going to get to, in the context of that, we had this great story where they go to Rabbi Dosa because they heard that Rabbi Dosa was matur like Beit Shammai, the tzarat, to marry the brother, and they said, you know, it can't be. They all go as a group. They say, come on, we're going to go against him. It turns out they were totally wrong. They had misinformation. It wasn't him. It was his brother. They go and they fight against his brother. His brother wins. His brother was very smart. They called him the Bechor HaSatan. And anyway, in the context of that story, when they went to him, they introduced Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah to this Rabbi Dosa, and he used the pasuk about him, Na'ar hayiti gam zakanti v'lo ra'iti tzadik ne'ezav v'zaroma bakesh lachem. We say it in benching every day, right? So I've lived a long life. Okay, this is the part we're going to focus on for a minute. I've lived a long life, and I've never seen, right, a tzadik that was left aside and his children were looking for bread, meaning Elazar ben Azariah was a rich man, and this is a good, right, and that proves this pasuk. So now we're going to hear about this pasuk. We're on the second wide line on Tetzayin Amabet. Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonatan. Pasuk zeh Sar HaOlam Amaro. Who is Sar HaOlam? You've heard of Sar HaOlam? Probably not. He was an angel that's been around. What's the issue? They had to find someone who's been around for a long time. So who must that be? Oh, it's the Sar HaOlam. He's the guy, he's the angel in charge of the whole world, and he's been here from the beginning, and he's an angel, and, right? Okay? Now, he's the one who said this pasuk. Narayiti gam zakanti. Okay? Now, they say, man amare. So now they're saying, who else could have said this, right? It couldn't be. They're going to explain why this is Sar HaOlam. Ilema kud shabrichu mi'ika zikna kameh. He doesn't get old. God doesn't age, so Nar Hayiti Gam Zakanti wouldn't be relevant to God. Ve'ela David Amare, Mikashish Kulehai, he wasn't that old when he died. Okay, he was 70. That's not so old. Okay? Ela Shmamina, Sar HaOlam Amaro. Okay, there we have it. Okay, we're going to have all sorts of little comments here. Ve'amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonatan. Mai Dichtiv Yado Paras Sar Al Kol Machmadeha. If you remember, we were talking about Ammon and Moav. Okay, we had two issues we were discussing. One is the cities of Ammon and Moab that were captured by Moshe but weren't captured in the second temple time period, and therefore they were Noheg Trumot Maaseh, but they weren't Noheg Shemitah. And therefore they decided in the Shemitah year they would give their Maser Ani to the poor people. And the next thing we had was all about these Goyim. Okay, we had this issue of the Goyim. Can you accept Gerim from the Goyim? Because there was a concern that maybe they were intermarried, and if they were intermarried, then maybe there'd be an Isur Mamzerut. Some people said, we're going to get to this very soon, that if you, a union between an Ovei Kochavim and a Jew would create, your the children would be Mamzers. Okay, Mamzerim. So now, we're going to learn more about that soon. So now we quote this pasuk. Yado paras tzara kol machmadeh. It's a pasuk from Echa. Ze Ammon u'Moav. And this is just reminiscent of this Rasha we saw just before about this. Hakol nifnu al kesef zahav, vehem nifnu al sefer Torah. Amru, okay, what happened? Everyone goes for the gold and the silver. And Ammon and Moab, where do they go for? There's a great midrash. They go for the sefer Torah. Why do they go for the sefer Torah? Amaro, ze shekatu bo lo yavo Ammoni u'Moavi b'kal Hashem yisaref be'esh. They didn't like, right? They wanted to go against this statement. It's a good comment about certain psukim can turn off non-Jews, right? It can get them very upset that our religion has these psukim that are so anti, you know, you can't intermarry. So they were very upset by that pasuk, and therefore they came in right away and burned the Torahs. Tziva Hashem liYaakov svivav tzarav. Now, what does this mean? Okay, so Hashem, right? It means tziva Hashem liYaakov that his svivav, the people around him, are going to be tzarav. This is very interesting, right? Tzarav sounds like tzara that we've been talking about in our parsha, in our sugya the whole time about the tzara. Right here, we're using it in a different way. What's tzarav? Tzarav is the enemy is going to bother you all the time, right? He's going to be like a thorn in your side, okay? Which is exactly the relationship between the tzara and the wife, right? That's why she's called a tzara, because she's a thorn in your side. So it's interesting the connection here. Amarav kigon homanya lepum nahara. Okay, which city has been svivav tzarav that bothers us? Homanya is a city. We're going to talk about the city later. It's a city of non-Jews that bothered Pum Nahara, the people living in Pum Nahara. Okay, so Homanya was a non-Jewish city. Pum Nahara was a Jewish city, and there was a and they were people who were living right nearby, and they would bother us. Amar of Yudah, Amar of Asi, Ovei Kochavim Shekidesh Bizman Azeh. Now we're going to have an issue. This is a fabulous sugya all about intermarriage. Okay, we're even going to relate this to current events of things happening this week. Okay, in Ovei Kochavim that marries, Bizman Hazeh, okay, Bizman Hazeh obviously means in their generation, not now. Choshishin Lekidushin. We have to assume that maybe there was a good marriage. We talked about this before. Are the Kiddushin Tovsim or not? Right? If you marry someone you're not allowed to marry, is it considered marriage? Is it not? We talked until now that the majority opinion anyway is that if it's an Isur Lav, if it's a Lo Taseh, then you can't. If you want to switch to there so the sun doesn't bother you, I don't know what to do about it. Okay, so if, so you're Choshesh L'Kiddushin, we're concerned that that there's a marriage there. Now, why are we concerned that there's a marriage, right? You need Chupa V'Kiddushin, right? You need a Jewish, I mean, how could you have marriage with a non-Jewish person? So what do they say? Shema Me'aseret HaShvatim Hu. Okay, the concern is that the non-Jews in those generations could have been from the 10 tribes. It's a fabulous question, right? The assumption is maybe he's from the 10 tribes. Now, if he's from the 10 tribes, what will happen, right? We have to be concerned that it's a good marriage. Let's say he marries. The idea here, obviously, is that he's marrying a Jewish person, okay? Now, here Rashi says we're assuming that we're talking about him marrying a Jewish woman. Okay, we'll see why that we're not concerned later in the sugya with Aseret HaShvatim being a woman. We're going to see why. There's an interesting explanation given for that. But the assumption here is that it's a woman marrying a Jewish woman, marries a non-Jewish man. Maybe really he was a Jew. Okay? So then they say, Vaha, kol de parish miruba parish. But wait, we have this concept of, we go by the rove. Now most of the people in the world, right, are non-Jews. So why would you assume, we have these general concepts. Okay, this is the famous sugya. You have nine stores and one of them is Jewish, one of them is kosher, and the others are non-kosher, or vice versa, whatever it is, right? So if you find a piece of meat just in the middle of the street, then we can assume it came from a non-kosher store, okay? Or vice versa, right? Let's just assume it was eight non-kosher and one kosher. But what is the Gemara answer here? Beduchta dekfiye. Now, here we're talking about cities where it was known that there were lots of the Aseret HaShvatim living there. Now, that's different. If you go into a store and you buy a piece of meat, and then when you leave the store, you can't remember anymore, did I go into the kosher store or did I go into the non-kosher store? Then we say it's 50-50, okay? Then you can't say, okay, that, majority rules, okay? And therefore, that's what they're saying. In these cities, it's such a concern that the Aseret HaShvatim are there that it's a different situation, and therefore, Choshoshin LeKiddushin. Tamar Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana, Vayanchem b'chalach u'b'chavur nahar gozen v'arei madai, chalach zeh chilazon, chazon v'chavur zo chadayeb, nahar gozen zo ginzak, v'arei madai zo chamadan v'chaveroteha. V'amri le'ezo nihar v'chaveroteha. Chaveroteha man, okay, these are just, I'm not going to get into this, these are just different cities. If you have the Koran, they actually have a map of where they are. They're basically considered to be Syria, Iraq and Iran of nowadays, okay? Different cities not far from here. And you can see here there was a bit of a debate, which cities exactly are they? What are the chaveroteha? Chaveroteha means right in the cities surrounding. Amar Shmuel, Krach, Mushchi, Chidki, v'Domkaya. Okay. Now, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, v'Kulan, Lifso. Okay, now what does Rabbi Yochanan say? All these people, not just are we choshish for Kiddushin, but all these people are psulim. Why are they psulim? So now there's two different interpretations given here. One interpretation is to say that the assumption is that if it's a marriage a marriage from a Jew and a non-Jew is molib mamzerim, okay? That the union between them causes mamzerim. We had that debate on the page before. Are they mamzerim or are they not? Another answer is it was just known that since these people were so intermarried that they were marrying their siblings and they were doing Isur Arayot and they just weren't careful about any of this stuff, and therefore you had to assume that somewhere along the line they were mamzerim, and therefore all these people are lifsol. Okay. Ki amarita kimei deshmuel. Now when the words of Rav Asi, now we're going back to Rav Asi, what did Rav Asi say?
That seems very extreme. I mean, it seemed, maybe it's just our Western understanding that
yes.
To intermarry within a family seemed so highly immoral. The other religions and the other cultures in those days permitted just any kind types of marriage. They were so different from the Jews, or they had a similar type of moral thing. So
right.
This is an extreme judgment on the
Jews. So you could say one of two things. Number one, first I read it like that thinking, it's just being negative, like, these people aren't careful. But I think, first of all, I think there's a few possibilities. One is that the Isurei Arayot came to, right, nowadays most people don't marry their brother, they don't marry their father, it doesn't happen so often. It could be in those times it was more common. And the Torah was saying, don't do what everyone's doing, and this to us is not a good thing. You know, who's to say the whole thing is immoral? It's tough to know, right? It could be it was a cultural thing and that this was going against the culture. But I think more so, when I looked into it more, it looks to me like the issue really is that once you intermarry, the relationships, you lose your... the Jews kept these Yichus books, right? Like who came from who so that they could track who's related to who. And if you don't keep track anymore because you're intermarried and then, you know, your brother can marry someone else, you don't even know he's your brother anymore. You don't know he's your relative. You get so confused because you're no longer living within a Jewish community. And I think that's the issue, that they don't even realize they're marrying their siblings. That's what I think. I think it's more an issue. I don't think it's a statement of, they're, you know, evil people. I think it's really just that they basically lose track. Like Rashi even says, "Behein lo nisharu." Lo nisharu, I think he means like they weren't careful enough to keep track. That's what I think he means. Again, I'm sure you could explain it differently, but that's what it seemed like a possible explanation to me. Okay, so now when they come before Shmuel and they say what Rav Asi said, which is that basically you have to be choshesh that there's kiddushin. Okay, Amar le bincha haba min haYisraelit karoy bincha ve'ein bincha haba min ovedet kochavim karoy bincha ela bina. This is all about the matrilineal descent. That Jewishness comes, okay, here's the sugya. Jewishness comes from the mother. Says it very explicitly, right? Bincha, your son who comes from a Yisraelite, that's called your son. He's a Jew. But Ein bincha haba min ha'oved kochavim karoy bincha, okay? The son is from a non-Jew. It's called her son, okay? Not Jewish. So then the Gemara says, v'ha'ika banot, but wait, but there are banot who marry, okay? V'amar Ravina, and that's what he's saying is, all this thing that they're talking about is only with a Jewish man. A Jewish man marrying, right, this would say, right? Right, you're choshesh for kiddushin in a case where the man is a... Right, 1 second.
No, you would say the opposite. You would say that the problem is if a Jewish woman marries a non-Jewish...
Right.
And here they're saying the opposite.
No, they're saying the concern here, 1 second, the concern here is that even though his father is Oved Kochavim, right, he goes by the mother, and then if a man from the Aseret HaShvatim would marry a woman, then their children would be considered Ovdei Kochavim, and therefore, 1 second, in Oved Kochavim right, so if the Oved Kochavim married a Jewish woman, then you wouldn't have to worry about a mom's there, and it would be a good marriage, right? So therefore, the whole concern, right?
I think the concern is the women who are captured.
Right, so if women are captured, but the question here, if the Oved Kochavim marries a Jewish woman,
but they're saying that
then you don't have to worry about moms there. Obviously, that's the idea.
Yes.
Obviously, the kid's going to be Jewish, so that's not the issue. The issue is, what do we do if the man's from Aseret HaShvatim? Do we say that the kid would then be a mamzer? Because it's a forbidden union, and then the kids are mamzerim. But then, no, but then they're not Jewish. So wait, 1 second.
But then if you go on, it says that it's not a concern because any of those women who were captured were barren anyway.
Mm-hmm. Right, we're going to get to that after,
yeah.
Right.
So,
but that's...
I think they answer that question.
Right, because they seem to be saying that we're only concerned with the sons that are possibly from Aseret HaShvatim. In other words, if you have a daughter, if you have a daughter who's a Yisraelite who marries one of these non-Jewish people... That's when we're saying there's a concern that it comes from Aseret HaShvatim. Because if he comes from Aseret HaShvatim, then it could be that the kids are mamzerim. Okay, that's the question. But, because maybe he's a mamzer, okay? But if she, why is there no chashash that she's from Aseret HaShvatim, right? So that's what they're going to say. What about banot, ha'ika banot? But what if the banot from Aseret HaShvatim marry? Why don't you have to worry that she's a mamzeret, okay? So then they say, "Va'amar Ravina, Shma Mina, Ben Bitcha Haba Min Oved Kochavim Karoy Bincha." Okay, so if you have a grandchild, right? They're saying now the son of your daughter who comes from Oved Kochavim is Karoy Bincha. This is right. So he 1 second.
He's Jewish like his mother.
Right. Ravina said that from Shmuel you can learn. Okay, that. The son of your daughter who comes from an Oved Kochavim, in other words, your daughter married an Oved Kochavim, is still considered yours. So why wouldn't we be concerned with the banot? Okay? So now what do they answer? Gemire de binta de hahudara itzderuye itzderu. Now they say what you were saying, which is that the daughters were considered that they sterilized themselves, basically. It's actually this really interesting sugya of... The women, when they went into Galut, they didn't want to have this problem, so they just sterilized themselves. Now, were you allowed to do such a thing, right? It's a whole big question.
The agony of it.
Right. It could be another reason, right? It could be another thing is that they became sterilized just from the whole process. Okay. Ika de Amre. So now, what does this do for you? This resolves our issue of all these Jewish children roaming around, right? What are they trying to do here? And this is why I think it's related to some current events. We'll get to it soon. They're trying to avoid problems of mamzerim, basically. If you say that all women are potentially, right, then you have all these Jewish children running around who aren't considered, right, who aren't doing kiddushin, kamosha tzarich, they're not doing gitin, they're not doing anything, you create this huge problem. So they basically neutralize the whole thing by saying, oh, don't worry. Any of the aset, right, you can't worry that maybe every woman is a Jewish woman because maybe she came from the Aseret HaShvatim, where every non-Jewish woman is Jewish, because, oh, don't worry, when they went into Galut, they all either sterilized themselves, became sterile somehow. Okay, that's one answer. Ika de amre ki amarita kame de Shmuel amar le lo zazu misham ad sha'asa'um ovdei kochavim gemurim. Shneamar ba'ashem bagdu ki banim zarim yaladu. Yafe. So what do they say here? The pasuk says they gave birth to banim zarim. What does zarim mean? Must mean they're of de kochavim. What I like about this is the lashon, and here I'm going to bring in the current events. They didn't move from there until, right, they said, this is so important, we're not going to move until we resolve this issue. And they found some pasuk that they could resolve the issue with, and to basically say, don't worry, you can't assume that anyone from Aseret HaShvatim is a Jewish woman. Okay? Why does this relate? This relates to the Rabbi Freundel saga, because what happened yesterday? The RCA came out with a statement saying that all the conversions that he did are fine. And they immediately came out with a statement. They said, Lo zazu misham, right? They said, if we don't respond right away, right, it's going to be a huge catastrophe. And they came out they wrote a psak. Okay. Psak halacha, and they said, Rabbi Gedalia, the head of the Beit Din there, wrote a psak, and he said, you know, all his conversions are fine. What's interesting about it is that the Rabbanut hasn't issued their statement yet. They said, we're going to look into the issue, which is really, you know, going against this whole thing. Lo zazu misham. Figure it out. You know, and make a statement right away, because otherwise, ain ledav arsof, and it could be really tragic. So anyway, I thought to bring that up, because again, you have a situation where you can mess up a lot of people, right? It's a very gigantic, you know, huge Pandora's box to open up, and the rabbis were very careful not to do such a thing. They wanted to make sure that we didn't create some crazy situation where you're going to be matil safek on every person in the world, right? Maybe they came from Aseret HaShvatim. So, okay. Yativ Rav Yosef Acharej Rav Kahana. The Yativ Rav Kahana Kamej Rav Yehuda. Okay, he sat behind him and he sat in front of him. The Yativ Akamar. Atidin Yisrael de Avde Yomatova ki Harve Tarmod. Okay, we're going to make a huge, right? This is actually interesting. It reminded me of Rabbi Tarpon saying, I'm waiting for my daughter's husband to die so I can marry and show the halacha. So here it's at least for a better reason, not just to fight and show halacha, but I'm waiting for the day when the city of Tarmod is destroyed. Because what did they say? We can't accept gerim from Tarmod because there was a chashash in the city there that they were from Ovdei Kochavim that were really Jews. And it was a problem, and then they'd be mamzerim. So he said, I'm waiting for the city to be destroyed. So then the Gemara says, v'hacharif, it's already been destroyed. They say, no, hahi, tamud. That's tamud that was destroyed, not tarmod. Hi tamud ha. Rav Ashi amar, hainu tarmod, hainu tamud. It really is the same place. But ichpulehu de michpal. What does that mean? Charev mehai gisa, otev mehai gisa. V'charev mehai gisa, otev mehai gisa. It was never fully destroyed. It was destroyed on one side, but the other side was still there. And it was destroyed on that side, but then that side was still there. Meaning that we can't be sure that everybody from the earlier generation has died out. Okay? Yativ Rav Hamnuna kameh de'ula. Okay, here we're going to have a situation where someone's matil safek on somebody's yichus. Rav Hamnuna is sitting before Ula. V'kahavash b'shmate, and he was teaching, learning Shmuot. He was saying all sorts of things he knew. Amar Ula says, well, ma gavru, what a brilliant guy this is. Ilav de Harpanya mate. If it weren't too bad, he comes from Harpanya. So I think it's Rashi who says, you know, he was concerned with Shiduchim and he wanted to tell this to people that don't marry this guy because he comes from Harpanya and he's bad yichus. He might be a big Talmid Chacham, but some people say that it's the opposite. It's that he was actually trying to gnaw at him because he was annoyed by his sharp questions. As he was a little bit taken aback because he was asking him so many sharp questions. He didn't know what to do with him. He said, oh, well, anyway, your yichus is bad. Okay, but what happens? He turns around, at least. Even if you say it started negative, he does turn around. So what happens? Ichsif. He gets very embarrassed, Rav Hamnuna. So it could be Rav Kana didn't realize how much he was going to embarrass. Ula didn't realize how much he was going to embarrass him. Or really, he didn't mean to embarrass him at all. He was trying, you know, he just wanted to deal with the situation and let people know not to marry. Amalei. So now he wants to rectify the situation. He feels bad. So what does he say? Again, you see the rabbis trying to resolve issues. Kesef gulgalta lehecha yahavet. Where do you pay taxes to? Amar leh lepum nahara. I pay taxes in Pum Nahara. Remember Harpanya and Pum Nahara? Harpanya was the non-Jewish city and Pum Nahara was the Jewish city. So he says, I pay taxes to the Jewish city. Amar leh imkeh mipum nahara at. Okay, we'll assume that you come from Pum Nahara. In other words, if you have some sort of connection to that city, well then, we'll say you go from there. And again, it's not a matter of where he really came from. It's a matter of, can we find a derech lahatir oto? Okay, my harpanya. Now they want to know, what does the word harpanya come from? Amar Rabbi Zera har shahakol ponimbo. It's a har that everybody turns to. What does it mean, everybody turns to? If you're a psulei chitun, and you can't, right, you're a mamzer, you can only marry mamzerim. So everybody who's stuck goes to that city to marry people, because the psulim can marry the psulim, and that's where everybody goes to for that purpose. B'matnita tana kol she'en makir mishpachto v'shivto nifne l'sham. Okay, they're turned to there. Again, it seems because those are the only people they can marry with. Okay, you see this whole
sounds
concept.
Like they weren't doing any giur then.
Giurim.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Why? Because, well, they
it's
were timeless.
It's an easy way to resolve the problem. People who weren't sure about to go find their life.
Right, but the whole sugya yesterday was you can't even accept giurim because if they're possibly mamzerim, mm-hmm. It's a problem. So here, even if you wanted to do giur, that won't help you. If you're a mamzer, you can't convert and basically wipe out your past. That's really the big problem. Okay. Now they're going to talk about this. Okay, what's Sheol? Sheol is like the deep underworld, right? It's worse. It's deeper than that. Why? Shenemar miyad Sheol epadein mimavet egalein. They're saying this is such a serious issue that it's so much more severe. The worst of the worst, right? What do we think of? We think of Gehenna, of the depths, of falling, right? But from the depths, you can always come up. But from psulei, you know, psulim like this, mamzer, you can't get out of it. It's just, there's no takana. Psulei de harpanya mishum psulei de mishon. Now they're going to explain where it all came from. So the people from harpanya, where they come from? They came from mishon, okay? That was the makor of their psulim. Psulei de Mishon, Mishum Psulei de Tarmod, which we learned about, right? The Psulei de Tarmod, Mishum Avdei Shlomo. Remember, it all starts with Avdei Shlomo, which is so interesting because what's the issue here? By the way, I forgot to mention this pasuk. But the issue, and this will come full circle now, so maybe good I didn't mention it before. The issue of why does it go by the father, by the mother? Because Rashi points out there's a pasuk from where it says Lo titchatem bam, okay, I meant to bring my Tanakh, I forgot. Lo titchatem bam. It says the next pasuk. Okay, it says your daughter can't marry the son, and the son can't marry their daughter. Okay, of the non-Jews. But then it says Ki tasir et bincha. What's the problem? Because they're going to turn your son away. So what does that mean? They're going to turn your son away. The woman is going to turn your son away. Okay, but if it's the woman, right? If the woman's the problem, so it stays Jewish. Okay. So here you have this concern of the Avdei Kohavim, right, leading you astray. And where does that come from? Avdei Shlomo. Why is that relevant? Because Shlomo was the one who married all these wives who turned his heart away. It's very interesting that they all, right, it's almost like they're blaming Shlomo for this whole problem. And not just because he brought in, right, like you can also relate this to bringing in non-Jewish workers, right, Avdim Zarim, and creating problems from that, right? He brought in Avdim Zarim, basically. Because, right, the Jews didn't know how to do the work. He brought in Avdim Zarim, and look at what demographic problem he created. Okay? very interesting daf with a lot to do. V'ayinu damra inche, kaba rabba v'kaba zuta, mignidar v'azio l'shol, u'mish'ol l'tarmon, u'mitarmon l'meshan, u'mimeshan l'harpanya. Okay, now they're saying kaba rabba and a kaba zuta are inaccurate tools for measurements. They're not good measurements. They're using it here to talk about psulim. There's minor psulim, there's major psulim, and all of them lead to the sha'ol, and the sha'ol leads them to the tarmod, mitarmod, to meshan, tarpanya. Look how far these things can take you. Hadron alach hameshes renashim, finishing perek rishon. Okay. Now we're going to move on to we basically learned two mishnayot so far. We learned the first mishnah about the 15 nashim she potrot tzarotehen betzarot tzarotehen. Then we had the second mishnah, which talked about the sheish arayot that are chamurot mehem, which you can't even marry. You couldn't have even married the guy in the first place, the first husband, and how we relate to that. And here, the tzarot are not mutarot. And then from there, we saw this machloket Beit Shammai Beit Hillel, which took us for a few dapim to get through, about can you marry, or really the tzarot mutarot or not, or are they potrot, or are they mutarot to go marry someone else. And then, now we're going to go back to one of these cases of the Eshet Achiv Shelo Hayah Ba'olamo. Just as a bit of background, we're going to get into this question of, is there zika b'yibum or ain zika b'yibum? Okay, what does zika mean? We've talked about this before. Zika means that once this husband dies, okay, the whatever wives he had are zakuk to this yabam. Okay, what does that mean? He has some relationship with them now. Even without doing anything, they're bound to him, they're tied to him. If you recall, we had that case where two brothers married two sisters, right? And if they marry two sisters and they both die at the same time, and the women come up to Yibum with the next brother, let's say. So both these women together are zakuk to this yabam, and because of that, neither of them can marry him at all, because it's like he's got a relationship with two sisters, and you're not allowed to have a relationship with two sisters. So this relationship is called zakuk liyabam, okay? They're tied to him. Now, there's a machloket about how tied to him are they. Okay, everyone agrees that obviously they're supposed to marry him, okay? But there's a big question about yesh zika or ein zika. Now, what does this mean? Some people say that they already, it's as if they have some sort of marriage relationship. Okay, when she gets to Yibum to him, it's as if they have marriage. They're somewhat married. Okay, even though they haven't done anything yet. Some people say, no, until they do any ma'aseh, there's nothing. There's no relationship between them. Okay, yes, they have to do something. There's something mutal alehem, you know, there's a thing they have to do. But it doesn't mean they have a relationship between them. So we're going to see all sorts of ramifications of this machloket. Okay, in the meantime, we'll get started with the Mishnah, and you'll see as we go on. Ketzad eshet achiv shelo haya ba'olamo. You remember this case? We had the brother who wasn't alive at the time of the death of the first brother. Okay, so we have a guy, he's married to two women. He dies without children. He has a brother, brother number two. Okay, let's call them Reuben, Shimon, and Levi. Shimon, okay, is alive. But Levi is born after his death. Okay, so now, what does this mean? This means that there's no heter of Yibum. Okay, first thing to know is Eshet Ach is Erva, right? He can't marry anyone who is married to his brother unless you have a Chi of Yibum on you. But this brother wasn't even alive when he died. Therefore, there's no Chi of Yibum on him at all. Therefore, what's he left with? Eshet Ach. So he can't ever marry. Okay, let's just keep one wife now. He can't ever marry the wife of his brother who died. So if she were to marry Shimon, and Shimon were to die without kids, and she were to come up for Yibum, he can't do Yibum with her, because even though the Easter of Eshet Ach between him and Shimon is disappears because of Yibum, the Easter of Eshet Ach between him and brother number one never disappears, because he's a brother that wasn't alive at the time, and therefore had no chiyuv of Yibum. Okay? So he's forbidden. So that's Kesad Eshet Ach, Shadoayah Ba'olamo. Shnei achim umet echad mehem. Okay, two brothers, one dies. Nolad lahem ach. Okay, then the new brother is born. V'achar kach yibem hasheni et eshet achiv. Then she does yibum. We actually learned this case in both cases. There was a machloket in one case, whether the yibum happened first or second. Umet harishona. Okay, so now if the first, umet, period. Then the second brother dies. Harishona yo. Okay, so now let's say he had two wives. So, Shimon had two wives, okay? The first brother had one wife. She can't marry brother number three, who was born later. But Shimon now had another wife. So that wife, okay, can she marry brother number three? So no, why not, right? Harishona yotza mishum eshet achiv shelo haya ba'olamo. The first one, right, who married the Reuben in the beginning, she can't marry him because of eshet achiv shelo haya ba'olamo. Vashnia mishum tzarata. Okay? And the second one is now the tzara of this erva. So obviously we're going by Beit Hillel, and she's out of the picture. You understand? So neither of them. Okay, you lost that one. Okay, so let's go back.
The second one I lost.
Okay, I understand. So.
She became the tzara
when she married Shimon. She was married to Shimon already, let's assume. Okay? She was married to Shimon. When Yibum happened for the first brother, Shimon already had a wife. He now marries the Yivama, okay? Now he dies without any children from either of them. So the Yivama comes up to Yibum with the brother. She can't because it's Erva. Yesh al-achiv shelo haya ba'olama. She now is the tzara of the Erva. Like we said in general in the first Mishnah. Any Erva case is also poter the tzara. Any wife that he was married to is patur now from Yibum because of her. She ruins the relationship for anybody.
Does that mean that he was born also after Shimon?
It doesn't,
right,
okay.
It doesn't matter.
We're going to see. We're going to see. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter whether, if at some point they were married together to him, then she's the tzara.
Even though, regardless of when Levi was born.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Okay?
Does,
as soon as she is not allowed to marry Levi, so then automatically...
That's exactly it. Automatically. It's an automatic. Again, according to Beit Hillel only. But that's an automatic. We learned in the first Mishnah. Anytime you're an erva to somebody, you're poter, you exempt all the tzarot. So basically, what does that mean? If there's no other brothers, right? If there's another brother that there's no erva, they go to the next brother. But if there's no other brothers, then they're all poterot and they can go marry anybody they want. They're free. They're free to go. Okay? So now... So the Rishona is because of Eshet Achiv, and the Shnia is Mishum Tzarata. Now what if Asaba Ma'amar, the mate, what if he didn't actually marry her, okay? He didn't do Yibum yet, the second brother. What did he do? He just did a Ma'amar. What's a Ma'amar? We talked about this at some point. A Ma'amar is, it's more like a formal act of saying, I'm going to marry you. Okay, he says, I'm going to marry you. There's a formality to it, but he doesn't yet marry her. Okay? Now, the real important thing, even though normally Kiddushin can be done, b'kesef b'shtaru b'bi'ah, the main way to do Yibum is by bi'ah, because the whole idea is l'akim shem ha'meid. How do you do that? By getting pregnant, right? By having relations. So without relations, it's not like you've done anything. So a ma'amar is sort of like a tekes kiddushin or something, but it's not like a full marriage kind of thing.
Michelle, was there a time frame for when Yibum had to be done?
That's a good question. I don't think so. Okay. I don't think so. Just again, it just stops you from marrying anybody else.
Right.
But yeah.
You see, these days court cases would drag on for years.
Yeah, that's
right. I'm sure that people used it like they use get for, yeah. Unfortunately, I'm sure it's one of those things that could lead to that kind of a situation. So now, what if he does a ma'amar? Now, if you do ma'amar, what's the situation? These guys are married now, midirabana. Okay, ma'amar is enough to create a relationship midirabana, but not midoraita. So now we have the same thing we talked about in the first Mishnah. If the erva is poteret the tzara, what's the issue? She's only married midirabana. So on a doraita level, she's not the tzara. Okay, but on a dirabana level, she is a tzara. You understand? On a doraita level... this is not a marriage, these two people. If it's not a marriage, well, then she's not the second wife to the erva, okay? So on a Dorabana level, she is the tzara of the erva. So now, what do we do? If she's on a Dorabana level, well, then how could she do Yibum? It's asur for her to marry. If she's on a Doraita level, how could we not do Yibum? She's chayevet to do Yibum. So what do we say? Like we said in the first Mishnah, we have this kind of a problem. Okay, the Shnia does Chalitza Na'ibu. Okay, now the Gemara is going to talk a little Girsa'ot. Okay, what is Girsa'ot? Sometimes there were different versions of the text. So there were two different versions of this text. This is a very technical issue. In one version, they called our first woman, right, the one who married Reuben in the beginning, the Yivama, the Arayot problem, they called her the Rishona. In another text, it called it the Shnia. Okay, so now they're going to just say why each text can be explained. We're basically going to explain how we can call her the Rishona and her the Shnia, and how we can also switch it and call the first wife, really call her the second wife. And the other one, okay, it's going to be, really, was she the first wife, meaning the first one married to Reuven, or is she going to be the second wife of Shimon, is the way the Gemara is going to say it, although then they're going to even say maybe that doesn't work. We'll see inside. That's basically the whole question. I'm Rav Nachman. Mandatani Rishona lo mishtabesh. Mandatani Shnia lo mishtabesh. You can read it Rishona, you can read it Shnia. None of them are messed up nuschaot, basically. Mandatani Rishona lo mishtabesh. Why not? My Rishona, Rishona lenifila. She was the first one who fell to Yibum. In other words, she did the first Yibum. The Yibum, right? The first Yibum happened to her. Reuven died and she married Shimon. That was the first Yibum. And then the second Yibum, they both fell to him at Yibum, right? She was the second one to marry Shimon, because the way I explain the case, Shimon was married first to this woman, then Yibum came up and he did Yibum with the Yivama. So she was the second wife of Shimon. But then they say, Milo askinan diyabam b'achar kach kines. What if he did Yibum and then married the Tzara? It would be the same thing. It wouldn't matter. It doesn't have to be that he married the Tzara first. He could have married the Tzara second. So you can't necessarily say that she was the second one to marry Shimon, because this case would have worked just fine if she had married Shimon, done Yibum with him. And later, he married another woman and then he died without kids. It would be the same halacha. So Ela Mai Shnia. Shnia b'nisuin eshet achiv shelo haya ba'olamo. She's the second one. Mai shnia shnia b'nisuin. She is the second for the nisuin. It's shnia b'nisuin. She married twice. She's the one who married twice, because she married Reuben and then she married Shimon. That's what it means in the end. And that's why she could be called also Shnia. Okay, now we're going to see the source for Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo. Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo, Hechak Tivi. Where is it written? How do we know that there's a Petur, that it's an Isur Arayot? Amar of Yudah Amar Rav, right? In order to prove it's an Isur Arayot, there's obviously no category of Arayot for Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo. It doesn't say, you're Asur to marry, right? It's just Eshet Ach. It just means what we have to prove is there's no chiv of yibum by esh dachiv shelo haya ba'olamo. Okay? This part's going to be fairly straightforward. Amar kra ki yeshvu achim yachdav. What does it mean? Okay, this is the pasuk about yibum. When does yibum happen? When brothers sit together. Okay, what does it mean they sit together? Shaita lem yeshiva achat ba'olam. If they lived at the same time. Pra leesh dachiv shelo haya ba'olamo. That's one reason. Another answer is yachdav. This is another drasha on this pasuk. What does it mean, yachdav? Miyuchadim benachala. What does that mean? That they do Yerusha together. Now, who does Yerusha together? Prat lachiv minaim. Okay? Only brothers by the father inherit together. Brothers who have the same mother don't inherit together, because the inheritance comes from the father. And that's where we learn our halacha that we've talked about from the beginning, that it's always going to be yibum from brothers that come from the same father, and not brothers that come from the same mother, but not the same father. Okay? So the first answer we're going to have for this is that yachdav de darshim yuchadim menachala. Rabba amar achim menaav, we're going to learn from somewhere else. Yalef achva acha mi b'nei Yaakov, ah. Right? Ma lahalan min ha'av, lo min ha'em. Avka min ha'av, lo min ha'em. Where does it say, achim, by Yaakov? When they go to Yosef, they say, Shnei masar anachnu, achim b'nei avinu. Okay? We're brothers, the sons of our father. And we know, obviously, b'nei Yaakov didn't share the same mother. They only share the same father. So here we learn, ki yeshvu achim yachdav, our pasuk, and the achim by b'nei Yaakov, or achim min ha'av. We're going to learn achim from achim. So now they say, well, if you're going to start learning from Achim, we can learn from somewhere else, dafka not. The Leilaf Achva Achva Me'arayot. You can learn it from Arayot, where we have Achim, who are, right, Eshet Achiv, what's the pasuk? There's a Ervat Eshet Achicha, okay? You can't marry the wife of your brother, and there is your brother even from the mother. So why don't you learn it there? So what do they answer? There, what does it say? Eshet Achicha. And here it says, right, we're going to darshin, achim from achim, and not achim from achecha. Okay? Right? Eshet achecha is min ha'em also, right? Only min ha'em. But achim, right, we're going to say in all these places is min ha'av. Okay? So that's what they're going to say right now. Achava min b'nei Yaakov. Okay. Danim achim achim, ve'en danim achim achicha. So they say, what do you mean? My nafkamina. Hatan is where Rabbi Yishmael. We learned this in Moed Katan. B'shava kohen uba kohen. Okay, I'm not going to get into the details because it's late, but basically we're talking about a case of negat zarat. The kohen goes to check after 7 days, and if he finds it's mitpashet babayit, there's a procedure that you do. Okay? Kotzev etach, you cut off, you do the tiach again, you have to like remove it from the house. When the kohen comes back, okay, after, let's say it doesn't spread in your house, right? But it doesn't heal, so you come back another 7 days. There it doesn't say the procedure, but they say because in one place it says Vashava Kohen, and the other place says Ba'a Kohen, Zoe Shiva, Zoe Biyah, we're going to say it's the same for both. Now what do you see here? It's the word Vashav Uba, and they make a Zera Shava between the two. In other words, you can't, just because it says Achim Rachecha, you can't say I don't make a Zera Shava, right? Because Vashav and Ba'a we make a Zera Shava, and that's not the same thing. So why can't you learn Achim from Achecha? Okay? So what do they answer? Here's a good answer. In Shavu Ba, there was no other pasuk that said the same word. Okay? But here, we have two options. Either Achim from Achim or Achim from Achecha. Which is going to be better? Achim from Achim, obviously. Right? When you have no choice, so you can learn Vashavu Ba. Okay? Because you have no other word. But when you have something much more similar, you're obviously going to learn the much more similar one. So then they say, but wait. Yalef achvach vamilot dichtiv. Remember Lot fighting with Avram. What was Lot's relationship to Avram? He was the nephew. And what do they say? Ki anashim achim anachnu, right? We're brothers. What does it mean, brothers? They're uncle, nephew relationship. Okay, so why don't we learn it from there? So what do they say? And then you would learn that you can do Yibum with other family members, right? With a nephew. That the nephew could do Yibum. So what do they say? Mistaber mibnei Yaakov havalei lemelech mishum demifnei. Ah, what do they say? The word by Bnei Yaakov is an extra word in the pasuk. Listen again to the pasuk. Shnei masar anachnu, achim bnei avinu. You could have just said bnei avinu, and they would know that you're achim. So that's an unnecessary word. So we'd rather darshan an unnecessary word rather than a necessary word, ki anashim achim anachnu, right? So now they say, midavale lemichtav shnei masar achim bnei avinu, uktiv achim, and it's unnecessary. Shema mina lachnu, yeah, it must be because it's extra. Now they're going to say this. So now we had, let's go back. We learned Achim Achim, but we also learned it from Yachdav. Yachdav is Miyuchadim Benachala. So why do we need both? Right? You could have just learned one. So now they're going to explain why we need both. Itzrich lemichtav Achim, v'itzrich lemichtav Yachdav. Why? Di'ikatav Rachmana Achim. What might you have thought? Hava Amina, Leilav Achvach Vamilot. You might have thought you could learn it out from Lot. Now, wait a minute. We just said you can't because it wasn't extra. So what do they say? B'chitema lo mipne. Maybe you'll say it's not panui. Lie. It really is. Afnuye. Why? Not because you didn't need the word in the pasuk. You needed to say some word. But what word could you have used? Mipne dehavale mechtav re'im. We could have said we're friends, right? We're relatives. You didn't have to say brothers. So k'tiv achim. The fact that he chose this word over that word means that maybe you could learn achim from it. And therefore, katzav rachmana yachdav, hamiyuchadim benachala, which is just brothers. Okay? So basically they're saying, if you just had achim, you might have thought that you might confuse it with lot. And lot really is somewhat panoi, because they could have chosen re'im instead of achim. The fact they chose achim comes to teach you that achim really means even nephew, uncle relationship. But then you have the joshav yachdav to teach you no. In Yibum, that's not considered achim. It has to be people who can do Yerusha together. Be'ikata brachmana yachdav. What if you just had yachdav then? You would know. It's all people from the brother. Hava amina demiyachte ba'aba ubi'ima. Okay, you might have thought that it's not, okay, this doesn't mean Yerusha doesn't go by the mother at all. But what might you have thought? Brothers. Brothers who do Yerusha, most of them are from the father and the mother. So therefore, tzricha. Therefore, you needed the achim from the Yaakov to teach you. There in Yaakov, we know they're from the father and they're not from the mother. So therefore, you needed that pasuk to teach you that. So you needed both of them.
Don't we know from Boaz and Ruth that it can be any relative, that it can be a close relative, not only?
So Boaz and Ruth is not exactly Yibum. Okay, there, it's a little different. So, right, it does seem from there that it's the closest relative, but from all the things we're learning here, it's really brothers, because we talked about if there's no other brother, then you're Petra from Yibum. So I have to look into that question more, because it's been in the back of my head. I haven't really researched it, but I know that they talk about that the Yibum there wasn't exactly 100% Yibum the way Halacha sees Yibum. Could be it developed and changed over time. I don't know. I have to look it up. It's a very good question. Okay. Tov, I think we'll stop here, and we'll pick up from here from tomorrow. Okay, that was a good. We finally get some sources to where the Yibum and Av comes. Okay, and that's the real interesting. You know, it's just we took it as a given from the beginning. Now we're starting to see where it comes from.